Bing.
Welcome to another wonderful episode of the Blue Line Brothers. I'm Fred.
I'm Frank.
And we're here to discuss a specific topic, one of which, just one of those nagging questions that have been on our minds for years and years and years. And that would be...
Will your truck handle a multi-car rear-end collision at highway speeds?
Yes. That's a question I pose to every salesperson that I meet prior to purchasing any vehicles. Hey, will this truck handle not one, but two highway speed rear-end collisions? And of course, they look at me and say, do you really want to buy a truck today? But yes, so Frank, you might just go ahead and get into the story. This was obviously an unscientific test that you were not planning.
Yeah, but those are always
please go ahead and regale us upon the story.
Well, around the 11th of this month, I was on my way home at 5 o'clock in the morning. There was a car that decided it wanted to stop in the middle of the highway. And I was doing the posted speed limit, mind you.
Yes, of course. As a newly appointed public safety official, you would take that responsibility. Yes.
I stopped with inches to spare from pushing the bumper into the back seat of their car. And as I sat there and I had a few choice words, I felt a thump and then a second thump. I got rear-ended by twice by two separate cars. One car literally dissected the front end of their car, spewed every kind of fluid that you could imagine onto the roadway. I'm going to assume that it was totaled. The second car was a rather pricey six-digit car.
Oh, yes. We'll get into that.
The front tires were facing in opposite directions. The bumper kind of looked like the Matterhorn. You know, it was all cocked up in the middle and kind of came down. And then there was a third car that was involved, which was a 2500 HD, and yeah, the front end of it was all smashed in too, because it hit the pricey car. Briefly, I will just say, I drove my truck home.
And you were the only person involved in that collision that could actually drive his or her vehicle.
And I was at a dead standstill when I got hit twice.
At highway speeds. We have to remember that anyone...
a minimum of 55 miles an hour.
There you go. Yeah, we'll just leave it at that. A minimum, bare minimum of 55 miles an hour. Because as a duly appointed law enforcement official, you took it upon yourself to kind of investigate the scene.
Exactly.
And you found what?
My truck did not move. It did not roll. It did not get pushed from the impact. Nothing. My taillights, my turn signals, everything worked. It knocked the lenses off of my rear taillights, smashed my bumper in. And it curled up and got into my bedside. But frame-wise, it didn't even... It did nothing to my frame. The second car that hit me, it hit my exhaust. And it did not move my exhaust. You can see where it actually made impact with the front of that car. There was still some paint and some smudge marks on it, and it didn't even move it.
So, not only did your tow receiver hitch not move, your exhaust pipe did not even move.
No. Which, that was what really surprised me.
And the pictures that you sent to me, it looked like your bumper is literally curled up
under
or around the receiver. That's what it looked like.
So on the receiver, you have where the hitch itself is, then it comes in and it goes to the right and to the left, and then there's a piece of 3/8 inch flat stock, which it ties into the frame. So that bumper actually curled in and hit that flat stock, and it split the bumper like you cut it with a pair of scissors.
Wow.
It didn't even scuff the paint on that hitch.
Right. That's the other thing. Even the stickers on the hitch that explain the weight ratings of the truck, of the hitch, were not even marred. I mean, you could still read the stickers, you know, on the pictures.
When I left the scene, the illustrious state cop said, "You're good. You can leave." I cruised down the highway, posted speed limit,
right,
and it drove exactly the way it did before I got hit. I was expecting to hear some exhaust noise, cause, I mean, you did exhaust. It took a good hit.
Oh, yeah.
But nothing.
Wow.
And then the next morning, I was, don't get me wrong, I was a little sore. The neck and the upper shoulder area, upper back. But I went out, took a tape measure, and I measured from the outside to outside of the frame and just systematically worked my way up, and there was no variance. It didn't even touch.
So it didn't even touch the frame, let alone the hitch or the receiver, which is, for those that may not be familiar with trucks, that receiver is literally flush with the outside edge of the bumper.
Yeah.
For all intents and purposes.
Yeah.
Okay, so
the only thing that moved was the bumper itself.
Yeah.
And all the other stuff, it just sat there and took it and went, no.
And, of course, another note of interest, you did not actually have a hitch in the receiver.
No, but I will.
From now on, yes. But
I'm going to go get one of those big, giant hooks.
Yes, just imagine the damage. We're going to get to that high-dollar vehicle here in a minute. But, yes, that... Just imagine...
Pure chaos that would have caused.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, the first car that hit me was a... what was it? It was a Toyota... I want to say Camry. It was kind of a big body Toyota car, four door. So the passenger side front quarter panel was literally peeled open. The pulleys, the timing chain cover, that whole side of the engine and the radiator literally looked like somebody took a blade and just cut it and peeled it back. The front tire was relatively close to the spot where it needed to be, but the orientation was completely.
Now, did the tires blow out or anything?
I can't tell you. I didn't look at the tires, but it got all the way back into the door of that car.
Oh yeah, I would imagine.
The 2500 HD that hit the high price car. Everything on the front of that car or that truck was pushed back. He couldn't even open the door.
Yep.
the quarter panel was actually over the door and he couldn't open it up.
And of course, that's what on a front end collision. That's exactly what all of these newer vehicles are designed to do, is accordion up. So, I mean, it actually did what it was supposed to do, because as it accordions up, it should absorb kinetic energy. So, hopefully, the driver and the passenger aren't, injured and, as badly and things like that. So
actually, if I remember correctly, the front tire, which would be the driver's side, was, and it wasn't centered in the fender well. It was actually pushed back towards the back edge of the fender well. So everything was pushed back.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course he was completely disorientated because every airbag inside that truck was off.
Oh, I could imagine. That can deafen somebody right there. And a lot of people, if you haven't been in a crash before, front end crash, then, or if you haven't had your airbags go off, yeah, that can really mess you up, especially when you're not expecting it.
Yeah, well, now we saved the best for last. Was the...
Yes, please explain exactly what this high-dollar vehicle was.
I will probably butcher the name, but it was a Maserati Levante.
Mm-hmm.
All-wheel drive SUV. What was it, like 80 plus thousand for that car?
When we looked it up, yeah, the Levante was in that neighborhood on the low end.
Mm-hmm.
Basically a basic model. But yeah, they went up all the way into the mid 160s, depending upon.
And the beauty of this was, not only did the front end get just completely smashed in, the front tires were completely facing the opposite direction. One was facing to the right, one was facing to the left. Oh yeah, I forgot to tell you, it's an all-wheel drive model.
Yeah. As we were guessing, when you were first describing that to me, I'm thinking, yeah, that would probably get totaled out.
And the beauty of it, I mean, the doors.
Yes.
The doors were fine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, doors are fine.
Oh, okay.
Open, close, with, you know, no problem, until you get to the back.
Oh.
Where the 2500 hit it.
Oh, that's right. The 2500 did hit the Maserati.
So, all the plastic facade on the back, well, it was hanging down, and then you could actually see the damage that it caused.
Oh, dear golly.
If it was metal, and it was supposed to be here, it was now curled under and pushed over here.
So, in other words, it did not fare nearly as well in that rear end portion of the collision as your selected vehicle.
No.
Hmm.
Not at all.
Wow. And of course, that's at least we're gonna safe to say, well over a six-figure vehicle
need. Mm-hmm.
We'll just leave it at that, and more than likely, from what the research that we did.
And you know, the funniest part out of all that, so the guy that was driving the pricey car was trying to get to the airport, and me being the upstanding citizen that I am,
yes.
I took him to the airport and dropped him off.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See?
He said, I'm going to miss my flight. And I said, where are you going? To the airport. And I said, well, I live by the airport. Not too far from it. I got to go by that way. I said, I'll tell you what. Throw your bags in my truck and let's go. We got released and we zipped down the road. I went by, dropped him off, shook his hand and said, have a nice flight. And I went home.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not too many people could have done that had they not been driving a
8,000-pound tank.
Ford Super Duty pickup truck. Complete with Godzilla engine, by the way. I had to throw that in there. It had nothing to do with crash dynamics, but hey, you know.
Well, technically, it could. Because when it was time to leave, I could just go.
Oh, yes. You.
And I did, and I went.
So now, yeah, and let's back up just a second or two. That's why we discerned that it was more than likely highway speeds, because there were no marks, brake, you know,
yeah.
no evidence, yaw marks or scrub marks or anything like that from tires from those vehicles behind you that actually slammed into you.
None. So, and I will tell you, the way that the Toyota was parked, we'll call it parked, you could see where he hit me with the passenger side, like he was trying to turn away from me.
Yeah.
He hit me, which made the ass into his car come around to the left, and it hit the concrete barrier, which then brought him back around. So he got it on two opposite corners.
Wow.
It was kind of funny.
He tried to pull a Titanic move. And
and yeah. Even if he would have
successfully
went around me, well, they have that big, huge thing. It's got the flashing, you know, get over sign.
Well, that's the thing. And that's we failed to mention that you were that this whole situation occurred at the mouth of a construction site.
Yeah.
On the
where so they were.
That's why the vehicle in front of you was stopped.
It was the choke point. And, you know, at that time of morning, there is, for all intent purposes, no traffic. But this guy, who just happened to have Missouri plates, for whatever reason, stopped. Instead of just merging on over.
I see. So there was nothing blocking him then. No. He was just being an idiot.
No, I mean, after...
I mean, a fine, upstanding citizen that was just slightly... off base with his...
I think they call that reality.
Okay, I'm just trying to make up something that sounds, you know, polite, instead of just saying he was...
A moron.
Had something shoved up his rear end.
Yeah. I mean, I remember I was sitting there, and I was like, why the hell are you stopping? And then it was boom, boom.
Wow.
And I went, huh. Did somebody just hit me?
Yeah, if you had to ask yourself.
And then I looked up, and the car in front of me was just driving away. I'm like, well, all right, at least I didn't hit him.
Thanks, moron. You caused all this crap.
I opened the door, and I walked to the back of the car, and I saw the carnage. I went, huh, I got to get my phone and take some pictures.
Yes. Yes, indeedy. Now... This also, let's go ahead.
I just thought of this. The high-priced car, his airbags didn't go off.
Oh, really?
Yeah, none of them.
Hmm.
I just thought about that.
Wow, that's...
And I mean,
that's odd.
That was a straight...
Yeah.
Impact.
I saw in the pictures, you know, like you were describing the hood, it was all the way, I mean, it was basically an A-frame.
Yeah.
So, yes, most definitely, he plowed in, I mean, that whole front end plowed right mm-hmm. into you. And the airbags never went off.
They never went off. Because I remember when I walked by his car and he was pulling his bags out, there was no airbags deployed at all.
Now, you did mention that he had just put plates on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the other little salt in the wound here, is that he just picked that sucker up.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
And the moral of the story is, this is why you pay for insurance.
Well, yes. And we...
So, The layman would look at that truck and go, it's not that bad. There was, what was it, almost $12,000 worth of damage
my truck. With the bed and all mm-hmm. that stuff, yes. And, of course, once again, in this particular situation, well, in this time frame here, we have logistics issues with parts. So parts prices are a lot higher than normal and stuff like that. And something called inflation. But, yeah, exactly. Still, you're looking at a considerable amount of money, even though you, by all rights, probably should have sustained a heck of a lot more damage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, any other vehicle, excuse me.
Well, the Dodge Ram that I had, or any of the Chevy trucks I had, I'm almost willing to bet that it would have bent the frame on it.
Yeah.
And it's just...
And actually, a lot of times, the receiver being that close to the... You know, once again, it's right out there by the outer skin of the rear bumper. Oftentimes, with pickup trucks, if that receiver is hit hard enough, that will cause enough to buckle mm-hmm. part of the frame that it's attached to. So sometimes, you know, that can prove to be more problematic than not.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, doesn't the F-250 have a boxed frame?
As a matter of fact, the all Super Duty series does have boxed frames, yes.
Imagine that.
Now, this also, it comes to mind one other incident. You happened to run over another vehicle a month or so ago. How about we just go ahead and explain that as well? Because that is probably just as probably more humorous than this.
So I was cruising down the road downtown, and once again, construction site. Little tiny, it was a Toyota too.
Didn't you say it was a Prius or a
Yaris?
Yaris, yeah.
Yeah, tiny matchbox car.
Tiny thing, yeah.
Well, it decided it wanted to get into my lane, and I wasn't moving. I didn't have to, and all of a sudden, I went up and over that car.
Up and over a Yaris.
Yep. Quarter panel.
So
over
your front, was it on your passenger side?
Driver's side.
Driver's side. So the driver's side, you didn't even realize. You literally thought it was a speed bump or a chuck hole or something.
I seriously thought that it was just because the roadway was uneven. And it was just kind of a little boom, boom, boom. And I went, what the hell? And then I see the car stopped with this. Yeah.
with your tire tread over the top of the hood.
And I pulled over and stopped, and this dude ran in and jumped out. And I'll probably go to hell for this one, but whatever. You ever seen that movie Lord of the Rings? The little elf people that they have that kind of look like leprechauns? Mm-hmm. That's who jumped out of the car.
Oh.
And he was jumping around, huffing and puffing at me, and I was like, okay. But yeah, it just literally just drove right over it.
And no marks on your wheel wells or anything?
Nothing.
On your bumper?
Well, I take that back. There was a little smudge on my my step boards.
Oh, okay.
It was just the tiniest little green smudge.
Wow.
And I took some denatured alcohol and a rag and just wiped it right off.
So you have sustained multiple rear end hits and strikes from different vehicles. You've driven over Toyota.
Now, wait a minute. That makes it sound like it was my fault. I had a car try to drive under my truck.
No, it sounds like, and there again, I know we haven't actually describe the entire story of the with this little Yaris thing, but after what you told me, it sounds like a fine example of an unsafe lane change is how we would describe it in traffic law terms.
And of course, he was on the phone too.
Oh, so distracted driver,
yeah.
Which that's a newer law as well. So
that was per his admission. I was on the phone, and I was like, not my problem.
Okay, so thinking that you can cut in front of another vehicle, everybody else is supposed to stop and allow you to do this.
Poor size is bigger than your car.
Yes. Lesson number one, don't try to cut off a vehicle that weighs approximately 7,000 pounds more than yours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then
rule number two, don't be a college professor trying to drive a freaking Yaris. Oh, I'm sorry.
And then on top of that, don't try and cut into a vehicle that weighs 7,000 pounds more than yours that I'm driving, because I'm not moving.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it.
No, especially when there's plenty of space behind you that somebody could easily merge and not have any issues. But no. We can't do that. We have to be in front of other people.
There was kind of a weird after effect of that. So the guys that were doing the construction work on the other side of the orange fence, you could hear the giggles and the laughter. I tried to not address it, and I tried to just ignore it, but it was very hard for me to do.
Oh, that's funny. I love it.
Yeah. Yep.
So we have multiple examples of why one might choose a Super Duty pickup truck.
Yeah, you literally can drive over something or drive through something.
Yes.
That's going to be my next one. I'm going to drive through something.
Yeah, we'll save that for another episode. Yeah. Now, I will describe my little situation out west since we have time. I was driving a buddy's truck. He was in the cab, sleeping. We were in the Grand Teton Mountains.
Oh, yes.
And he had a 2016 Ford F-250 gas engine, which I say that because that was the last of the steel body Super Duty trucks. So they also had a different frame underneath. It was an open C-channel frame as opposed to this new fully boxed frame. So torsional rigidity and everything wasn't quite what this frame is now. However, after I conclude the story, it still didn't make a difference. So we're driving along, and I, well, let's just say, in that particular day, we drove from the south end of Teton National Park all the way to the north edge of Yellowstone. So for anybody that's familiar with that area, that's a heck of a lot of driving in a short period of time, especially at elevation. And something that we did not realize that we were experiencing was that as we're looking at lakes and tree lines and geysers and all kinds of stuff, so we're not paying attention to the elevation, okay? And you're going up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. And we really didn't stop except for once to go see Old Faithful. And then that was about a 20-minute thing, hop back in the truck and take off again. So at any rate, on our way back, my buddy's getting tired and everything. He said, hey, how about you drive? I said, okay. So we're driving back. We're both real hungry. And out there, there's only two or three places unless, you know, you could, you know, legally take an animal or something, you know, to actually eat anything that's prepared food. Let's put it that way. So I'm looking for some place to eat, and we're coming down. We were about a third of the way back, and poof, I lose consciousness. I didn't fall asleep. I lost consciousness. And I'm going to guess maybe a second or two later, poof, I wake up. And poof, I wake up, and the driver's side rearview mirror gets whopped off the truck. I'm like, holy crap. So now I'm laughing, okay, telling the story. I was not laughing at the time. Okay. Not laughing at all.
It was probably a steady string of profanities.
It was, I think I got it. I think I got it. I sounded like the little choo-choo train that could.
Because I could steer out of this.
To get the half of the truck back onto the pavement. And of course, I did not realize that I had blown out both driver's side tires when I ran off the road. So there was no way in hell I was getting that truck back on the pavement. I was trying. I gave it the old college try. But at the same time, I realized that I'm trying to slow momentum at the same time to try to get the vehicle to stop. And well, let's just say by the time I got the forward motion somewhat under control, it was a steep embankment, and all of a sudden, we go from in a forward position to, oh, now we're rolling down the side of a mountain. And yes, we took a ride, well, at least 2.5-3 full turns, upside down, around in the bend, the whole thing, down the side of a mountain. And if it weren't for a pine tree, thankfully, there was a creek basin that was not too much further down that we would have landed in. But had we been about a mile and a half or two further down the road, we would have gone over about a 5,000-foot drop. Yeah. Now, so, I'm not thinking the truck would have survived. I know we would not have survived. I don't think the truck would have survived
that. No, I don't think so.
Now, what happened? I'm still dazed. my buddy, we get the truck shut off. He gets out, and I'm kind of looking around. I don't smell any smoke or anything. I'm trying to make a little assessment here of what's going on. Okay, am I going to go any further, or we actually stopped, or what? So a couple of guys onlooker that were actually following us from behind, they stopped to help, thankfully. And we ended up getting my happy butt out of the truck. And what was ironic is the injuries. Mike and I both suffered one scrape on our left elbows. And the scrapes almost look identical. But yeah, we rolled the truck. We're going to guess about at least 3 full rolls before the tree stopped us. And we also, right before we started to roll, we hit a couple of deep, well, they were big rocks that were protruding up through the ground. And there was a big tree branch on the passenger side that could have pierced the top edge of the windshield, but it did not. So that truck kept its integrity, the cab especially, kept its integrity the entire way down. It took a few hours to get it pulled up and out of the, where it landed. Get it back on the street. We got to get it towed to the ranger station and for insurance people to show up and all that stuff later on. But the whole thing is that truck, a 2016 Super Duty, literally rolled down the side of a mountain and we walked away from it. So first of all, I credit divine intervention for keeping us in one piece. But second of all, I credit Ford engineers for designing a cab that can retain its integrity through at least 3 full rolls down the side of a mountain. I mean, to me, I don't know about you, but that's impressive.
Yeah, any other vehicle, you would have been
had we taken smashed. My at the time I had a 2007 GMC pickup truck, and we were debating which truck to take, and of course we towed his camper trailer out there, so we took his truck. But had we taken my GMC, we probably would not have survived that roll down the mountain.
Yeah.
Now, the funny part was, we hours later, we finally get this stuff. You know, we had to collect our stuff that was flying out of the cab and all this stuff. So hours are spent, you know, trying to figure out this and that and blah, blah, blah. And a unique thing, the park rangers out there are trained as EMTs. So they showed up, and of course, they're looking at me and going over me, and they said, "Oh, your blood sugar's out of whack. You need to get your blood sugar under control." And I said, "I don't have a blood sugar problem." And they looked at me, and that's when they were asking me, "Okay, describe, you know, what happened." I said, "Well, when we, you know, went past that bend in the road back there, and of course, I'm also studying their reaction to me, and they're kind of, they get these weird looks on their faces, and I'm thinking, okay, I must really be out of whack, because the way they're responding to me is, there's no bend in the road back there." It's like, huh, okay, excuse me, maybe I didn't just fall asleep, you know, like I thought. You know, I was pretty pissed at myself for letting this stuff happen. So I, at any rate, one of the rangers, after we got the reports done and all that stuff, we were waiting for the tow truck to show up. One of the rangers was talking, "Yeah, we've had a lot of people falling asleep at the wheel, you know, with these major crashes, you know, in the park." And I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm still half out of it, you know, and all. So it really didn't dawn on me when he said that. And so, at any rate, we finally get a ride with the tow truck driver. He says, "Yeah, I'll take you into..." to actually on the Montana side, and there's a small little town there, West Yellowstone, and you can, there's hotels, blah, blah, blah. Okay, great. Well, he pulls up to a hotel, I jump out, and I go ahead and go inside and to talk to the front desk, see if we can get a room and all this stuff, and the the guy just happens to be one of the main managers of the hotel that's behind the desk. And he's standing there. I said, okay, yeah, we've got a room. I said, okay, two adult males, you know, no kids, no pets, nothing like that. He said, okay, what's the license plate number of your vehicle? I said, I don't have one. And of course, and just a straight face, you know, I'm, you know, once again, I'm thinking about, you know, what had happened and all this stuff, and I'm still pretty pissed at myself. So the guy looked at me and says, what do you mean you don't have a license plate? Did you walk? I said, no, we got a ride. I said, I just crashed my buddy's truck in the park. He said, what? I said, yeah, I just rolled my buddy's truck down the side of a mountain.
Oops.
And he just looks at me like, oh my God, he just freaks out. I mean, just starts freaking out. And I'm just standing there looking at him. Oh my God, I can't believe something like that would happen and blah, 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 blah. And you're just standing here talking about it like it's everyday news. I said, it is. I said, yeah. I've been a cop for 25 years. What do you expect me to do? I mean, honestly.
It happened.
I've been shot at. You know, people have tried to stab me, run me over. I said, what the hell? I mean, this is another day in the office for me. I said, are you okay? I said, yeah. I said, I'm just pissed. But I said, I'm fine outside of that. Because, you know, being the control freaks that we happen to be, you know, I was severely pissed. And, but it was funnier than heck because, you know, I said, and I had to look at him. I said, hey, are you okay? I said, how are you handling this? Because maybe I need to go someplace else, man. I said, I think maybe you need to have a seat and, you know, yeah, get no some kidding. Deep breathing going or something like that. Oh, I'll be fine. But I just can't believe you're just like in a malaise. I said, yeah. What do you expect? I said, what happened, you know, you move on and
I'm not bleeding and I'm still alive. So
yeah. So
let's move on.
Okay. Well, we'll get you a plane. I said, okay, cool. Anything you need? I said, no. I said, just a hot shower and some Advil. I said, cause I have a funny feeling I'm going to be pretty damn sore here in the next day or two.
Mm-hmm.
And, he said, okay, great. So we got that squared away. But I mean, afterward, you know, my buddy and I on the way back home, we were laughing our butts off about that. It's like, really? This guy's going ballistic. Are you okay? I said, well, I should be asking you that. But, excuse me, we get done. And, probably a week or so later, I'm talking to one of my other buddies and his mom is a retired nurse. And she spent basically 3 decades in Colorado as a high altitude rescue nurse. So I get a call from my buddy and said, hey man, he said, you finally, you know, able to talk about this stuff. I said, well, yeah, I'll talk about it. He said, well, you know, are you still pissed? I said, well, yeah, but not as badly as I was. He said, okay, so you'll probably listen to me. I said, all right. He said, well, better yet, listen to my mom. I said, all right. So she gets on the phone. She says, hey, honey, you know that it's not your fault. You didn't fall asleep. I said, what are you talking about? And she said, well, you know, Rick explained everything to me and literally described it how you described it to him and things like that. She said, no, you were hypoxic. I said, okay, well, that does make sense. But I said, what doesn't make sense is I had no headache. I had no light feelings, you know, nothing like that. She said, no, you won't. She said, you used to work out west in the mountains. So you've been acclimated to it for several years in your life. She said, even though it's been a while, when you go back to that, she said, you won't experience any of that stuff. It'll just, for you, it'll be pow, you're gone. And then pow, you're back. And like, yeah, that was basically it. Pow, I was gone. Pow, I was back. I said, man, it's a good thing it was pow, I was back when I did, because holy smokes, I can only imagine where we would have ended up, you know, had I not tried to keep the truck on the road.
Yeah.
And the moral of the story is we've got multiple incidents with, it just so happened to be Ford Super Duty trucks.
Yep.
rolling down mountainsides. absorbing multiple rear end strikes, mm-hmm. Collisions at highway speed, and running over Toyotas.
Yeah. I think I have a thing for Toyotas.
I think you do too.
Or maybe they have a thing for me. I don't know which.
Well, I'm thinking maybe you might not want to invest in a used Toyota anytime soon.
No, absolutely not.
Well, unless, of course, you just want to do some more field testing with the truck once you come back.
Funny you say that.
You had been talking about maybe some aftermarket bumpers.
I have been kicking that idea around.
Yeah.
Because there are a few cars that on the county range that we, you know, use to shoot out of.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't run, but they have to be moved from one spot to another.
Right.
And I could maybe, you know, offer my services.
Of course.
At, say, 40 miles an hour.
I was going to say in a rather dynamic weather. Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that may not be a bad idea at all.
Be like, oops, sorry, my foot slipped, and it's just, bam, plow into them. I might do that. I probably will do that.
I think you will do that.
Because you can, there is a way, like a back way into that range that you don't have to have a key.
No, what about the new guys? Could you have the new guys, like, that are in FTO, try to, you know, pilot, quote-unquote, you know, pilot those vehicles while you, that nice little initiation thing, don't you think?
That might be a plan B I have.
Say, hey, if you can survive this, you might be able to pass FTO training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is your practical stage, and you sit in here, and we're going to experience a T-bone.
Here's a paintball gun. Here's a... How many rounds can you get off before the impact?
I'm going to start here, and you have exactly 3.7 seconds before impact.
There you go. Yes. Well, hey, at least, I mean, I know it's on the other end of the spectrum, but it's a heck of a lot better than standing in a static line, shooting at a static target for...
Mm-hmm.
And running through the exact same drill, 45 times in a week, and then calling yourself qualified to carry a gun.
Yeah.
Man, did I bring that up again?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
But there are a few that are extremely qualified in shooting the, you know, the ceiling.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You did happen to mention that there were some extra holes in the rafters.
Yeah.
At the range.
Yeah.
Now... That also begs the question, I gotta know. It's been a while since we've really been talking like this. Have you shot anybody in the gizzard lately?
Not yet.
Nope.
But I have a special magazine that's labeled gizzard. Gizzard? That's it.
Labeled gizzard.
You, sir, are gizzard worthy. Hang on.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But at any rate, when people start talking about frames and trucks and what makes a difference, they're non-scientific proof that at least Super Duty frames seem to stand up
mm-hmm.
to a whole lot of abuse.
And the thing that, you know, thinking back on it, the perceived impact... What I actually felt was non-existent.
Well, if you had to ask yourself if somebody hit you,
mm-hmm.
that says a lot, right?
I actually heard it more than I felt it.
Wow.
And the first one, I kind of set up a little bit and kind of looked back into the mirror like, what the hell? And then the second one, I kind of felt that one, but not like I should have.
Wow.
There was no violent slamming back into the seat or anything else like that.
Well, and that's another reason that we've talked about that. And there again, the earlier versions of the Super Duty, the seats, the front seats especially, looked a little bit thicker. But they're definitely not lightweight seats by any stretch mm-hmm. of the means. And I'll tell you, I'm very happy. Even like I said, even in 2016, I think is not only the cab integrity, but it was the seat bolsters and everything else.
I'm trying to. It's like the seats in your truck are thicker than the ones in mine.
They should be the same, actually.
Hmm, they're thicker.
Hmm. We'll have to compare that next time when you get your truck back. That'll be something to take a look
That'll
at.
That'll be November 14th.
Hopefully November 14th.
Yes. No, that will be November 14th. I am tired of driving this little
Hyundai.
Piece of shit.
Yeah, little rice eater. Really?
My snowflake mobile.
Yes. Yes, there you go.
It cannot get out of its own way. But anyways, yeah, I'm trying to remember. Your seats are thicker than mine are. And I just
don't. It could be. I don't know. They should be the same, being a 21 and a 22. Because they're only a couple months apart as far as build dates go.
Yeah.
But, so that's the thing. It really does make a difference. People ask me, not people, there are a few people that I know that are more concerned with gas mileage than anything else. Why do you drive a truck like that around town?
Because I can.
Because I've had to clean up a lot of crashes in my career, and I've seen a lot of carnage, the leftover carnage, as a result. And I'd much rather have more steel around me because there are more and more idiots on the road. They're not fewer. There's more.
Mm-hmm.
And of those idiots, they're either playing on their phone or literally just don't know how to drive. One of the two. So, I mean, I can't tell you how many near misses I have every day on an interstate. Somebody either sideswiping me because they're playing on their phone, or, well, a couple near rear-end collisions had I not looked up and, you know, scooted my truck forward at the last minute, I would have had a couple of rear-end collisions.
Well, I did have the idea. I kind of touched on it the other night. a, shall we say, distant early warning system?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yes. There's four of them.
Mm-hmm.
A self-contained unit. Train horn system.
Yeah, now... Okay, before we get started, the system that you want takes up damn near an entire pickup truck bed.
What?
With the air tanks and the
yes and no. Yes and no. The only downside is you have to take your spare tire down and it goes where your spare tire goes, underneath the bed.
Well, yeah.
That's how big it is. So here's what I was thinking. If I had that, and I'm cruising down the highway, and all of a sudden, I have to make a drastic stop, I can just, boom, nail the button, which would emanate a blood-curdling sound from the back of my truck.
The aliens on the dark side of the moon will probably be able to hear you.
Yeah, I
okay,
know.
That's how loud that thing is. All right.
And that will get their attention and be like, oh, no, I better stop.
No, actually, it will get their attention, and they will lose all bodily control, all bodily functions, and they'll freak out because, once again, if they're in that position to begin with, they're already freaking out. Excuse me. So then you're going to have somebody, you're going to have basically however many people in that vehicle are just going to turn into poop machines.
Yeah, I know.
Wham!
And right then they got to sit in it.
Yeah. So, but basically, you're just going to turn them into soft-serve poop machines.
So then the tens of thousands of lumens that I have with my headlights and my driving lights and my two pod lights on the front.
See, you need some rearward facing.
I'm kind of covered both ways.
Yeah.
Oh, I already have a plan for that.
Yeah, because you'd have to have some... turn those pods into flashers.
The two pods that I have on the front, I'd like to get another set and put them on the back.
There you go. There you go.
Preferably on the bumper.
Because then you can throw them into a conniption fit with the lights as they're losing control of their body functions. And they'll be slamming into your car anyway because, once again, they'll have no concept of anything and whammo.
And it wouldn't take very long to figure out how to do it, but I could actually wire those lights into my brake lights.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So every time I hit the brakes, da-da-da, the brake lights and those lights come on.
Yeah, but remember, you're still a fine, upstanding pillar of the community.
But I would buy the red lenses to put over them, so they're just auxiliary brake lights.
Well, that's true, too. They would be auxiliary fog lights, for instance. See? Just like the Brits put on the Jags and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, rearward-facing fog lights.
See?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could possibly... get by with that. Yes.
I mean, it would fit within the letter of the law. So, you know, they're rear facing. They are red in color.
Well, let's put it this way. If somebody's going to ram into the rear end of your vehicle, you might as well get some cheap entertainment out of it. I mean, that's the bottom line. Exactly. Because you know what's going to happen. Once again, if some goof can't even pay attention to what he's doing in front of himself, let alone play on a phone.
Or I could just go with my original plan of getting a 6-inch steel pipe, filling it full of sand, welding two plugs on the end, and using that as my rear bumper.
Yes, there you go.
Extend it out anywhere from 4 to 6 inches, so when they hit that, they won't mess up my body anymore.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you won't get so much as a scratch on your bed.
So you have that and the hitch to get through before you get to, I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Then I can get out and go, hey, you scratched the paint on my bumper.
Exactly. Now I'm going to have to take that can of spray paint and touch up my bumper.
My neck and my back hurt. Oh.
Hey, is that the other half of your car that was over there in the ditch? Is that
right? Oh, and I forgot, too. You know, so in the hitch, I will have a big 10-inch steel hook.
Yeah, I've seen those before.
Mm-hmm. And it's just going to hang out. So when you do hit it and I pull forward, I'm taking half of your car with me.
It's like going fishing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Hey, guess what I caught? $165,000 Maserati. Hey, look, Paul. Hey, let's measure this sucker.
You know? Watch me drag this thing down the road. Hey,
will this fit within a daily limit? Get a hold of DNR. Let's see if that'll...
Get the turtle cops out. Let's see. Is this good? Is it a keeper?
So, yeah. There's nothing like adding a bit of comic relief to the next... crash that we might have to experience.
I often wondered I could get some of those rear facing cameras and just mount them right on top of my bumper.
Oh yeah.
So that way I can actually watch it happen.
Well, that's true too. Or get that use that third light on the back of your cab.
I got the shell on the back.
Oh, that's right.
Actually, no. I think there's a brake light on the shell.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep. Put a rearward facing camera on the top edge of the shell, which would keep it out of the way anyway. So,
camera in the middle, lights on on the ends. Mm-hmm. Just have to adjust the throw of them and voila. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, you could be all set. And see, the only reason that we can think up of stuff like this is because we've got, you know, a couple of Super Duties that can handle stuff like this.
And the amount of accessories you can put on that is damn near limitless because it's got two batteries and two alternators.
Exactly. See, that's the whole thing. When you spec your truck out the proper fashion, then you allow yourself the latitude to modify things and... Hey, you're already set because you got plenty of electric production. You can put whatever you want in there. You've got a big enough engine. Heck, you could actually probably put a hydraulic pump on that freaking engine if you wanted to.
How about a 5K generator?
Yeah. Yeah. Darn near. Well, the new Super Duties, by the way, this isn't a plug for the 23 Super Duty, but they'll have a 2,000-watt inverter as an option in the back of the bed. So you can, it'll have a couple of 120 receptacles, so you could plug in a microwave. Well, 2,000 watts, maybe not a microwave.
Actually, I will tell you, because mine's got the 400.
Yes.
And it's got two plug-ins, and I can run a computer on one and charge the battery for my drill on the other continuously with no change.
Wow. Yeah, with 400 watts.
I may not have seen what I could plug in there without it.
Well, I would imagine, because you and buttons, yeah, because you told me a couple of times where you had to actually,
twice,
two times you actually had to remove the battery from the vehicle in order to reset the vehicle so you could actually start it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to this day, I still cannot remember what sequence of buttons that I pushed.
See, that's the scary part, because inevitably that's going to happen again.
And I purposely keep the right kind of tools in the truck just in case.
Exactly. Right. Yes.
Because I know I'll do it again. I guarantee it.
Oh, yeah. But the bottom line to this episode is there's a lot to be said. Driving a big truck and keeping yourself in one piece does make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just say that. Yes, you have to pay for some extra gas here and there. I get it. But I'm going to tell you, the way these things are driving lately, we've actually had some time to drive these things.
Yeah.
And especially on the interstate, if you use cruise control and you can behave, and I say behave, you know, like a smidge under 70.
Well,
a sweet spot
that's
there.
Not exactly true. Because when I took my 1,000-mile trip, running 80 miles an hour with the cruise control, I think the lowest that I got was 16.6, 16.7.
Yeah,
that's running 80.
Yeah, exactly. That's amazing.
And, you know, there were some, we'll call them mountainous areas that I was going through, and you couldn't really tell on the tack.
Wow.
It would downshift, don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
But,
yeah,
you know, there was no 1,500 jump on the tack or anything else like that. It would just ever so slightly just fluctuate. Yeah.
It's nice to have a gas engine with some torque.
And I was really surprised. I mean, wow. I was expecting to spend, you know, an arm and a leg in gas, but
that's not bad for such a large vehicle.
It wasn't that bad. It's like I drove from here to Wheeling, West Virginia, and I think it was I used a little over a half a tank.
Holy smokes.
Like, about half. So I had like a quarter and a smidge left before I stopped to fill it up. So.
Wow, that is amazing. That's what I was going to say is, if I behave myself in the, you know, about 67, 68 miles an hour, if I hold it at that, I can be looking at 17, 18 miles per gallon.
Now, and keep in mind, I got those big, aggressive tires on there, too.
Yeah, you do. That's a lot of rolling. Well, that's more rolling resistance than the stock tires.
So, if I put the stock-sized tires on there, I would be willing to bet that I could get 18, 19 out of it.
Yeah.
But there's the the first sweet spot is right around 70. And then if you get 70 to 75, your gas mileage drops for some reason. But when you get up to 80,
wow,
it just kind of kicks back into another sweet spot.
I'll have to try that the next time I run across a stretch of road, you know, where I can legally do that, of course.
Oh, yeah.
I would never,
you know. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, those sections of the road that there are no posted speed limit signs.
Right.
So exactly. It's just kind of a free-for-all.
Exactly. Okay, well, it's going to be time to wrap things up for this episode. So, the moral of the story is, once again, drive a big truck and keep yourself safe. How about that?
And watch out for Toyotas.
Yeah, yeah.